Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle Shanahan was asked about what his team has done to address this situation with anyone who, you know, might need to talk about it with someone.
All the guys had it in their individual meetings. In our team setting, we didn't do it, though, because we kind of did all one-on-one. But we made our doctor, our clinician, he's usually here on Tuesdays for a little bit. We made him available all day. A lot of players used it. The thing we found out, most of them used it for their wives and people like that. A lot of our players they're doing all right. But I think the wives used it the most.
So, you know, it's good that they have access to people who can sit there and listen and give you the grief counseling that you need. And then you go back to life. My great-grandmother, God bless her, lived till she was 101 years old, buried more people than anyone. When you go to a lot of funerals when you're 101 years old. Her mantra, God bless Grandma Cadieux, her mantra, she'd walk over and tell any single grieving widow or widower, anyone, that's the one thing she always said at a funeral. She'd go over, she'd grab that person's hand, give them a big hug, and say, I want to remind you that life is for the living. And that's what it is. And by the way, Damar Hamlin is living. And we hope he certainly continues to do that for as long as people are allowed to live. But going back to work is what happens. Somebody's brought this up here, and they said it in a very sweet way, and I do thank you for it, 415. But someone was like, Damon, you know, like when you had a stroke, what happened? The station was on the air the next morning right on time. I'll tell you that much. The business in 95.7 The Game didn't stop for a minute when your boy was laying in the hospital for 21 straight days. Not for a millisecond. We didn't miss a commercial, Ray. And we're a local podunk radio station.
Okay.
So what do you think the NFL's about to do when it say tell the Buffalo Bills what their workday's like?
They don't get to tell the Buffalo Bills workday what it's going to be like. That's up to Sean McDermott and the Pegulas and the people who run, and Brandon Byrne, the people who run that organization. If this impacts the game on Sunday, the NFL absolutely has a right to say, okay, we get that you can't do this. You take a forfeit. That's the fair punishment. You don't sit there and go to every player's home and go, get your ass in the car and get to work. That's a choice for the players, just as it was a choice for everybody at the station here to go blithely along and ignore your stroke. I wasn't here then, so I can be cavalier about it.
You can be.
No, but I just think that's the most reasonable and least offensive solution to this. Let the Bills decide.
888-957-9570, Mr. G in Napa.
Hey, gentlemen. Love the show. Favorite so far today. This is one of those things where it's yes and, right? It's yes and a lot of us out there don't have the mental capacity to think about both sides like the two of you do. Small thing. I played football long, long, long time ago. Got to be gurneyed off. You know, they cut my helmet off, all that stuff. The game kept playing. I'm not comparing it. I shouldn't even brought it up, not comparing that. But looking to the NFL, you know, Ray is 1,000% correct. The Bills, you know, there's really not. They couldn't play. They didn't decide not to play. They couldn't play. How would those guys have played football? And if they decide they can't do it again, if you're thinking about that stuff, you shouldn't be playing football anyway in the next game, next three games, next whatever games. That game moves so fast and it's so dangerous. And then, Damon, you're 1,000% right. It's a giant, monstrous mechanism that's going to make all the money, and it will go forward. The bigger, bigger picture, the, you know, 10,000 feet, this is who we are. You know, we love football because it's violent, and we're cool with most of the violence, but now that a real thing has happened, which, you know, really bothers us, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? It's a tough, tough business, and it's not for everybody, and it's a hard thing for me, personally, to reconcile as somebody who played. Like, it's, you're going to get hurt, and bad things are going to happen, but it, compared to our military industrial complex, think of it how we treat our veterans, and it's very, very similar. It's very similar. Like, we got to do bad things. We're going to put ourselves in danger, and it's going to be really tough. Tough day for everybody. Please let that young man, you know, live a life. That would be the best. That would be the best thing to come out of this.
Thank you, Mr. G. Appreciate it. Thank you for calling today. You know, somebody brings up something here. You know, there's so much outrage and attention, and people are in their emotions over this because you follow it. You follow it. Someone here from the 510 says, I'm a surfer, I'm a snowboarder. Let me tell you, way more people die doing these sports than professional football players. Yet it doesn't have the attention that football has. If there's a freak accident, it'll shut down the mountain. Your sporting life wants you back out there. You get out there. You assume risks. It's part of being a sportsman. And that's, I think, the message that these players have been talking about more than any concept of we're not going to play anymore, we're just forfeiting from here on out. That's that athletes, professional athletes especially, aren't wired like that.
Well, nobody said they were going to forfeit from here on out. The only, I mean, people who want to take it to that extreme are, well, they're plainly off base. It's the Bills get to play when they're emotionally ready to play again. And they accept whatever competitive disadvantage comes with that. If they choose not to play again this year, you know, they'll have to deal with that. But it seems to me that the choice still gets to be theirs, and the league can react to that choice, but the league can't make the choice for them.
It's an individual player choice. The Buffalo Bills team plane takes off for Foxborough on Saturday.
And maybe it does, but maybe it doesn't.
If you don't want to be on it, don't get on it.
Okay,
but the team plane is going.
But I'm just telling you that if something awful happens between now and then, the Bills as an organization might choose not to play. And that's their choice too. You know, that's something that the team has to work at, and the individual members of that team have to work out among themselves one way or another. And that's all I'm saying. Nobody from the outside gets to have a say in this except what the result of the Bills' own independent and free choice is going to be.
John in San Francisco. What do you got, John?
Oh, hey, guys. Listen, I just want to comment about what DeMar Hamlin would want in this situation, in my opinion. I don't know DeMar personally, but I've followed him since he's in high school. We both grew up in Pittsburgh. We both went to the University of Pittsburgh. And I can tell you this much. DeMar Hamlin is a lifelong Steeler fan. And if you could ask him what he would want the Buffalo Bills to do this weekend, I am certain that he would want his team to suit up and play the Patriots. He would not want the Patriots to get a default victory and knock the Steelers out of the playoffs.
You know, and there's someone probably saying, who are you to say that? But John, you're right. I'm going to tell you, I think you're right.
And that might very well be true. But the players know him better than even John does. That's why I'm saying the players get to decide. I'm not trying to make a solution for them. I think that's up to them. And we have to let it be up to them.
Someone's like, you know, the NFL needs to do the right thing. No, it doesn't.
No, because
the NFL actually was completely 1,000,000% prepared to do the opposite of the right thing.
Absolutely. That's why I wouldn't rely on the NFL to make this choice. I'd rely on the Bills, the players, and the coaches to make this choice themselves. What the NFL gets to do is decide what the result of that choice is. But the choice, I believe, rests entirely with the team.
We're going to talk with Peter King, obviously, about this when he joins us coming up next.
Peter also gets a vote on this.
He look at it this way. The time that he spent in Cincinnati and around the league office, he knows how this league works as well as anyone. And some of the things that they're thinking about and some of the things that they are considering and the there are 1,000 different masters to serve here. I mean, there really are. There is going to be billions of dollars changing hands over fantasy football, much less actual football, that is affected by the results of a series of events that when do you stop compounding series of events with more series of abnormal events when you're officially running out of time and you are, a Sunday away from starting your postseason tournament? Like, it's really hard for me to have any sympathy for the NFL, but I have a little compassion for the problem that they're facing in the league office. That ain't easy. None of this is easy. None of this is easy. Peter King will explain to us what's going on, and we're also going to talk about, speaking of seeding, the San Francisco 49ers could be the one seed. So we're going to talk about that with Peter King, updating on Brock Purdy. By the way, Elijah Mitchell, his practice window is open. It gives the 49ers 21 days to reactivate him. Christian McCaffrey, Dre Greenlaw, and Javon Kinlaw were all held out of practice today. Trent Williams and Nick Bosa both got veteran days, but Nick has to make up for it on the back end, because he joins us in about an hour from now. We're going to have Nick Bosa at 5:15. Peter King comes up next here on 95.7 The Game. It's a Warriors Wednesday. The merch store is open, 957thegame.com.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
It is great to have you back here, Damon and Ratto, and we're very happy to welcome back Peter King for a weekly conversation, a day late, since we all got started a day late. And because we were a day late, we had Monday night off. A lot of people were watching Monday Night Football, and Peter, obviously, the story begins there, because that was a through-the-looking-glass moment for a lot of people. It was obviously the scariest situation I think we've ever seen on an NFL field play out. I think that the NFL absolutely wanted that game to continue, and both teams decided we're not playing anymore tonight. As you were watching what was happening with Damar Hamlin unfold in front of your eyes in real time, what thoughts went through your mind, and have they changed at all a few days removed from it actually happening?
Well, the first thought that went through my mind is that, you knew it was extremely urgent because you saw the movements of the medical authorities there, the EMTs, the team doctors, and you saw not only the urgent movements of them, but you saw the looks on everybody's faces, and it was bad. It was clearly bad. So, I mean, that is something that
has not happened on an NFL field in a quarter century. You know, there's been a lot of talk in the last couple of days about how, you know, the NFL is so dangerous and blah, blah, blah. And again, I'm not, by saying blah, 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 I don't mean to demean that or diminish it, because the NFL is incredibly dangerous. But this is not in any way a typical event that happens in an NFL game. It hasn't happened in 25 years. So I'm not sure that the time for that discussion is now about the dangers of football. It's just another dangerous piece of the football puzzle. But on Tuesday morning, very early, I had a conversation with Mike Ryan, who's a former NFL head athletic trainer. And Mike Ryan is now NBC's medical expert, and he's in the booth, or he's at the game site every week. So, and I know Mike, and so I called him and I said, "What hits you?" And he said, "I think that was a perfect example of why the NFL has spent so much time, energy, resources over the last few years in making everybody in NFL games, players and coaches, team officials, feel pretty safe about things, because they've got 29. It turns out that it's 30. They've added one more. But he said they've got 29 medical people at every NFL game. That includes an emergency intubation specialist. So it's as well as having three EMTs to do the kind of work on and look, team physicians, those guys all are experts in in CPR. So that really came in handy. And then to have a level one trauma center within 2 miles of the facility for Damar Hamlin, as unfortunate as Monday night was, and clearly it was borderline tragic, as it turns out now, and if things are starting to look positive, but we'll see. It could have been a lot worse.
This is a sort of inside the medical question, but who decides in a situation like that what care is given when? Is it the EMTs in a situation like that? Is it the home team physician? Is it the individual team physician? Who takes charge in a situation that potentially chaotic?
I'm told that the Bills head athletic trainer and chief team physician on site on the sidelines were the ones sort of spearheading the situation. But Ray, I don't know everything about how that happened. I do know that one of the things that that was told to me, in fact, I had Mike Ryan on my podcast, we recorded it last night, and Mike Ryan, he knows several of those people who were involved in it, and he said he could just tell when they came out and they saw the situation, even though the cameras weren't focused on it for a long time, he could tell the urgency because of, the sort of first look at Damar Hamlin, that it was an urgent situation. But it would have been directed by the Bills' medical officials.
Were you in any way surprised at the time it took to reach the decision to postpone the game? And do you know whether or not, indeed, the NFL wanted to continue it?
I was a little bit surprised that this happened, I believe, at 8:55 Eastern Time, and they postponed the game at 10:01. Here's all I know about that. And obviously, in retrospect, everybody is going to do everything humanly possible to make sure that nobody gets thrown under the bus on this. But I believe that it's fairly boilerplate that when you have an extended pause in a game, if you have an interruption of a game for 10 or 15 minutes because of an injury on the field that they're taking every precaution with, that the boilerplate thing is to say guys will have 5 or 10 minutes or whatever it is. I don't think that there is any specific rule about this to get ready to play again. And in this particular case, I don't know how, especially with the fact that when players are out there watching their teammate, a beloved teammate, a guy, even though he's only in his second year, he was clearly one of the most admired and well-liked guys on this team. Let's not kid around. When you see somebody getting CPR done on them, their heart is stopped. You know, and I'm not saying it. I mean, you don't have to be a medical expert to know that. And so clearly, those guys had to know whether it was done with a defibrillator or whether it was done manually. And I don't know which way it was done, that the players were going to be just absolutely devastated at the prospect of knowing that DeMar Hamlin's heart had stopped. And obviously, when someone's heart has stopped, you're in a life and death situation. So I just watching the game, and I did nothing on Monday other than to watch the game. I didn't make 43 phone calls. I was just watching the game. And in 5 minutes after this was happening, as soon as I heard CPR and defibrillator, I just said, they can't play this game again. Now, you know, I'm reminded when we look at the fact that approximately 66 minutes passed between the time of the incident and the time that the NFL said this game is being suspended, whatever word was used. I'm just reminded of 2 years ago when, you know, on many Mondays and Tuesdays in the 2020 season, when it appeared as though some team might not be able to play because of COVID, and they might have X number of players away, I kept being told by the league in those days, they're not going to make a decision until they absolutely have to. And so that's what I was reminded of the other night. And again, look, the fact is, I don't know. And I can't sit here and say that absolutely they wanted the game to continue, because I think what would have happened is at some point you saw the shots underneath the stands with Zach Taylor and Sean McDermott passing the cell phone with the NFL representative, Donna Ponte, who's on site for Monday night games. You saw that, in essence, they were talking to someone, whether it be Troy Vincent, Roger Goodell, who knows. But I'm sure they were just telling them, we can't play football. We're not playing football. And it was pretty soon after that that they said they're not playing football.
Let me look ahead and ask you to speculate, but a relatively safe speculation. What are the chances, A, that they will try to resume this game, even if it isn't this week, and even if it means pushing the playoffs back a week, as opposed to simply saying, okay, this is basically no game, and we'll try to pick up the schedule again Sunday?
Well, it's a very interesting question, Ray. Mike Florio reported today that he was told by someone who would know, I forget how he attributed it, that what the NFL is considering, and listen, this has to be underlined, you know, the NFL is considering one option is that the NFC wild card weekend will be played next weekend, and Buffalo and Cincinnati will play next weekend. The weekend after that, the AFC wild card weekend will be played, and the NFC will have its bye week, you know, its weekend off. And then the following week, they'll basically push everything back 1 week. Now, this is just my gut feeling after hearing that and after having a good idea of where that is coming from. And I, again, I have no idea if this is what they'll, you know, whether this will be the thing or not. I think one of the problems in terms of, I guess you'd call it competitive fairness, is if this game is not played and the Bengals and the Bills simply play 16 games while everybody else plays 17, you will be stuck with the following scenario. The Bills will, if the Bills and Kansas City each win this weekend, then the Bills will finish the season 13-3. Kansas City will finish the season 14-3. And so if you go by winning percentage, Kansas City then would win home field in the AFC and have home field through the playoffs. And not only that, but would avoid the Cincinnati Bengals, an incredibly dangerous team right now, in the first round of the playoffs, you know, in the divisional round. So it could be that the NFL is going to say, look, we have to be respectful to the entire situation, to DeMar Hamlin, everything like that. However, and look, whatever, I've said this for 2 days now, whatever the NFL decides, I'm not going to say what a dumb decision. This is an extraordinary case, a case that no commissioner really in this exact scenario has ever had to deal with. But I think especially because Buffalo beat Kansas City in Kansas City this year and would finish a half game behind Kansas City, having played one fewer game. Now, we could all speculate about, well, you know, you can't guarantee, you can't lock in a win over Cincinnati on Monday, and of course you can't. But that part of it, if I were Roger Goodell and I were the NFL right now, I would be thinking, you know, after a while, we've got to try to be as fair with this as we can. And so maybe we ought to really try to play that final game, you know, the Cincinnati Buffalo game. But again, I don't know what they're going to do, and I'll be, you guys check what I write on Monday or whenever it is, whenever this decision comes out. I'm not going to rip anybody, because if you say that the only thing that matters is the health of DeMar Hamlin, I'm not going to quibble who's got a home game against whoever in the playoffs this year.
What about flipping a coin? Outcome of the game, we flip a coin.
I think flipping a coin, I'd really like to hear pros and cons of it, but I said that right away. That way, Buffalo won't have to play the extra game. The entire playoff situation does not get thrown on its head. And everything has to get rescheduled. I happen to like that. You know, and I don't think it's a bad idea at all.
There's less tax on the bodies. There's less travel on the bodies, less mileage. And I think it makes sense. And like you were saying, Peter, there is no right answer. It's right. How close to right can this answer actually get?
Peter, I think the one thing that the NFL probably would think of, especially because, and I might be wrong by $10 or $20 here, but ESPN pays $2.5 billion a year for these games, and their game of the year didn't happen. You know, so I'm sure that you don't have Disney haranguing Roger Goodell, but if somebody at the NFL has asked Disney what they would want, they would say, I'm sure, we would like to see this game continue.
Absolutely. It is huge, huge business. There is no smooth transition from a very serious conversation. But, hey, since we're talking seeding here, Peter, we cannot help but notice that the 49ers have to beat David Blau. And the, and the Eagles need to lose in New York, likely without Jalen Hurts.
Philly. It's in Philly.
Excuse me. The game is in Philly, you're right, but they're playing the Giants, and Jalen Hurts probably, you know, isn't playing this weekend either.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I would say it's probably 50-50.
Coin toss.
I'm not saying I'll be surprised if he doesn't play, but I definitely don't think the decision has been made to keep him out of the game.
I guess my question was going to eventually be there. What if the 49ers ended up the one seed? Wouldn't that be extraordinary?
I mean, especially you look at them in week 7 this year, where you're thinking, oh my God. You know, I remember getting an email to my column when the 49ers were down in the dumps, and I remember getting an email and it asked me the question, seriously, if the 49ers end up 9-8 or whatever it is Kyle Shanahan in trouble? And I don't know, I get 175, 250 emails a week, and I don't remember why I didn't answer it. And I don't just mean Kyle Shanahan coaching up the last pick in the draft. I really don't. There's the other part of this is what that defensive staff has done, led by a great defensive coordinator who's definitely going to get interviewed, and who knows what happens. Beauty is in the eye of the owner, beholders. The first couple weeks of January every year. Or a little bit later than that, because the season now is, lasts longer. But I think the other aspect of this in terms of coaching is to develop players all over that defense, you know, and to have the kind of depth. You know, if you even look at an Azeez Al-Shaair, and I mean, I'm telling you, every game, he might only play 19, 24, 25 plays. Every game, he does something to help the 49ers win. Every game. And that isn't just the talent of him. That is being put in the right position to make plays. And so, you know, I've got to give credit to the entire coaching staff there, because I think they've had an awful lot to do with it. And you got to give credit to Kyle Shanahan and to Brock Purdy for never saying die in Vegas the other day, because look, that is one of the two or three most amazing games of this football season. Even though the Raiders aren't going anywhere, how can you say that? Blah blah blah. I mean, Jared Stidham had never played a game in the NFL, never started a game in the NFL in his life, and he far and away played the best game that any quarterback has played against the best defense in football. I mean, you know, he was drafted to eventually compete for the job after Tom Brady and in New England. And he Brady did nothing against the Niners, and Jared Stidham did everything.
Two quarterbacks have put three touchdowns on the Niners in the air this year. Jared Stidham and Patrick Mahomes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Of the three potential teams that the 49ers could face in the first round, whether they're a one or a two seed,
yeah,
is there one that in your mind looks livelier than the other two?
Well, the team, if I were them, that I would like to play, because look, it's an odd situation. I mean, let's just say for the sake of argument that, and I'm just gonna, I think the most likely outcome is that they're the two seed. All right. So if they're the two seed, then they're going to be playing the seven seed, which is likely to be Green Bay. San Francisco has played Green Bay pretty well. The thing is, though, Green Bay's defense the last month of the season has been a top five NFL defense. So I think the Niners would really have to look at this game like, we got to put the clamps down on Aaron Rodgers and these two rookie receivers, because they've been playing well enough to win games. So, I mean, there's that. And then let's just say they survive that, then you have to ask yourself, okay, it'd probably be, you know, the Vikings or the Giants. I think the Giants are one of the sneaky, most interesting teams in football just because their front seven is really, really deep and hard to play. So I think for everyone who says, oh, geez, we'd rather face the Giants. Well, of course you would. And all things considered, I think you probably would too. But I think the Giants, and I'm not saying this is January 91 revisited, where Matt Barr kicks five field goals and they beat the Niners 15-13 in knocking out possibly the best 49ers team ever, out of the playoffs that year, so that, you know, in the championship game. But I don't know. I think the Giants are kind of a sneaky, interesting team.
Peter, in about 35 minutes, Nick Bosa is going to be kind enough to join us here. I think he's going to be named Defensive Player of the Year. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I talked to him the other day, and I asked him about it, and he said, hey, you know, for somebody who's either been playing football, watching it, doing whatever, loving it since he was 3 years old, of course it's a big deal. You know, I'm a big football fan. I've seen all these guys who've won it. And yeah, I do. I think a bunch of guys have had really good years on defense. There's a lot of guys with a lot of sacks. I happen to think that he is most deserving because, you know, I will point to the play he made that won the game in overtime for this team the other day. The play that won the game in overtime showed up on no stat sheets other than PFF and Next Gen Stats, because that is the definition of a quarterback pressure, you know, and that right there is what won them the game, and he had seven of them. I wrote about it in my column this week, and he had seven of them, and that one, it wasn't a sack, and he's got a lot of sacks, obviously, but that play wasn't a sack, and yet it won a really important game that kept them in play for the number one seed in the NFC. I think not only does he deserve to be Defensive Player of the Year, he'll get my vote, and I think he will be Defensive Player of the Year.
Sounds pretty good, I'm sure, to Nick Bosa. It sounds pretty good to 49ers fans who have, with their own two eyes, just watched a remarkable season produced by Bosa and obviously the entire defense around him. Peter, thank you very much. An awful lot to get into this week. You are the perfect person to talk about all the moving parts of the NFL with, as always. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. And I wasn't kidding. We're about 35 minutes away from Nick Bosa. He's supposed to join us around 5:15, 5:20. We're looking forward to talking to him, looking forward to talking to you. And somebody on the text line has maybe come up with the single best way to decide what would we need to do to come up with a tiebreaker between Cincinnati and Buffalo. I'll share that with you next here on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
It is our longest commercial-free segment of the entire afternoon here on a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. And we got Warriors Live, starting with our friend John Dickinson, coming up at 6 o'clock this evening, presented by Xfinity. Supercharge your supersonic Wi-Fi, unbeatable internet, only from Xfinity. We got Warriors, we got Pistons, and we'll get back there in just a second. But Ray, every now and then, the text line comes up with an idea that is so fabulous, I'm ashamed I did not think of it myself.
This is where you take credit for it anyway, because you don't have to cite your source.
But I'm that kind of a stand-up guy. I can take so much credit for so many good things, I'm willing to share the credit when something else happens. It's just my generosity.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel diabetic all of a sudden.
It's the sweetness of me.
God.
So one of
flesh
the
is crawling.
One of the things that Peter King said was, you know, hey, Disney that owns, you know, ESPN and ABC and spent all this money on Monday Night Football, they want a game. They want a broadcast to sell, turn around, and get ratings on. So, you know, a coin flip probably isn't going to do it. Yeah, you know, it's not going to satisfy anybody. Although, if you did broadcast that coin flip, it would be maybe the most watched flip coin in world history. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that you could wrap 2 hours of ads around a 4-second action.
Oh, they would turn it into a Heisman situation where they know the winner before the show started, but it was still 3 hours anyways. But yeah, it would not be compelling, but for a moment there, boy, we'd lean in to see if that sucker turned up heads or tails. How about this? Because this satisfies a little content for television. It's going to also wrap in a lot of your old audience and a level of new audience. It's also going to be an incredibly generous handshake to a, let's call it, corporate partner. How about this? Instead of a coin flip, the Buffalo Bills present their single best Madden player. And the Cincinnati Bengals identify and present their best Madden player. And the two guys sit down and play a game of Madden that actually goes into the standings.
I hate the idea on its face, just because I'm not a video gamer. And two, the game is already heading that way. Why hasten it, especially for something that actually matters? I'd rather have no game than a Madden game. Doesn't mean he doesn't get credit for thinking. I just think it's the wrong thought.
I think it's a great idea. I think it would get millions of eyeballs on it. It would be the single greatest Madden commercial of all time in the year where, you know, we're celebrating the passing of or, well, I don't know if we're celebrating it, but we're recognizing the passing of John Madden just last year. Not bad. Not a bad idea.
It's thinking. I don't like where it ends. But so, but it gets points for thinking.
Well, someone from the 925 then says, "How about this lingerie bowl? We get those two teams." By the way, I would love to see Team Lingerie from Buffalo. I insert own joke.
Yeah. Wow. No. Not the lingerie team from
Cincinnati's
Buffalo.
Cincinnati's rolling.
Any lingerie bowl. Just no.
Lingerie bowl.
No.
They got the weekend available. Right.
And that's all well and good. They can go out in the schoolyard and play. Knock yourselves out. But I don't want it to matter. Because weirdly enough, it won't.
I think it's a hysterical idea. I love it. How about having Ocho Cinco rep Cincinnati and Marshawn representing Buffalo? Both those guys would sign up for that, I think.
I don't know if Marshawn would sign up for repping Buffalo. He did not have a good time there.
He didn't, but if you put it in an Applebee's and tied in Kenny Mayne and gave him enough Skittles, maybe.
He might do Skittles for Vladivostok as far as that goes. But nah, if they're not going to play the real game, and I don't think they should, there should just be no game. Work around it.
How about this? To settle the game, each player nominates who they think is the funniest teammate. First one that makes Ray Ratto laugh the loudest is the two seed.
That game would go on for weeks.
Well, again, now, you know, ABC has its television time slot full.
No, what they've got is me just sitting there going, why am I being subjected to this? They'd have to nail gun me to the chair.
Just some good stuff here. Good job, everyone.
Yeah, not really.
I actually think the Madden idea is not bad. It works on a lot of levels. And someone brings up another very good point that I think, you know, we're not going to go crying any ratings woes for the NFL because they still got ratings on Monday night. I don't know what they were, but they still got ratings.
Oh, no, they got the full time slot. They got a full rubbernecker crowd for an hour that they wouldn't have gotten. And maybe it would have been bigger than the game audience.
It might have.
Because,
but here's the thing. But that was a massive game. So maybe not.
No, but here's the thing. When you're talking about the possibility of life or death, how many people watching a game called out to their spouse or their kids and they said, you've got to come and look at this. I mean, it doesn't change the ratings because it's still one set, but they're getting an audience for that just because,
sure,
for lack of a better word, morbid curiosity.
Oh.
Because that's not something you get to see.
That's not for a lack of a better word. That's an apropos description.
Yeah. In fact, I think the ratings for that UEFA game where Christian Eriksen collapsed on the field went up because people were going, oh my God, this guy could die.
They weren't saying, oh my God, something actually happened in a soccer game.
See, that's just not necessary.
Fantastic. Captains rock, paper, scissoring their way through the playoffs. That'd be interesting. But yeah, a lot of good suggestions. We can stop now, though. We can officially stop.
Stop before this.
The suggestions. How about this? Brock Purdy's dad, Sean, was on the morning show today with Bonte and Butcher Boy, and they asked him about what his impressions were of Kyle Shanahan. And here's what Sean Purdy, who's Brock's father, said.
Just from, you know, hearing Brock talk about the meetings and how they do things and what he expects. Once again, you know, being a family of faith, we're like, man, God put him with the right guy. He is just brilliant. You know, when I'm watching the game, you know, as a dad, you're always nervous. For the first time in my life, watching Brock play, I was just like, well, he's got a guy that's going to call the right plays. And, you know, that's very comforting. Yeah, what a brilliant mind. And, you know, Brock really looks up to him and respects what that guy's all about.
Sounds like a cruel diss on Matt Campbell.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a shot across anyone else's bow, but it's certainly a glowing endorsement of the situation he finds his son in. You know, it's a dad will tell you whether or not they like the situation their son is in, yes or no, and they're probably going to give you the truth.
Well, he can't. I mean, it's the best situation any rookie quarterback could be in. You're surrounded by good players. You're not required to be the hero. And you've got a guy you can turn around and give the ball to 20 times and makes your life infinitely easier. So, yeah, I bet he's damn happy that he's there.
And the entire offense essentially operates in a box that you're comfortable in.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I've said this before. It just, in any other situation, you would have seen Brock Purdy's shortcomings by now. He doesn't have to show them because a great defense and a great running back who can also catch the ball out of the backfield eliminates a lot of possibilities for mistakes. He's having exactly the year that Jimmy Garoppolo's been having. If you look at the numbers, there's nothing extraordinary about what he's done. There was nothing extraordinary about what Garoppolo's done. But it all works because you've got the running back, and an extraordinary running back at that. You've got an offensive line that can block for the run all day long, and you've got a defense that means you don't have to score 35 points, except last Sunday.
If you gave Kyle Shanahan the opportunity right now, saying, so going forward, you can either keep going with Brock Purdy, or we found a crazy wrinkle in the NFL's bylaws that will allow you to add Derek Carr. Who do you think you'd rather go forward with, Brock Purdy or Derek Carr?
I think you'd rather go with Purdy.
I do too.
Because, first of all, you're gaining years. You know, Purdy's significantly younger. He's significantly less shell-shocked. And he knows the system. That's why Garoppolo is still here.
Well, and no bad habits. No bad habits hoisted upon you by other coaches.
We don't know what habits he's got. He's got a pretty restricted, you know, this is what we want you to do. Do this. I don't think Carr is, you know, I think Carr could adapt. But I think because Kyle Shanahan believes in what's familiar, and it's only when he decides to go outside his comfort zone that he gets burned, I think he would prefer Purdy to Carr. That doesn't mean that Carr is not a better quarterback than Purdy. But for Kyle Shanahan and his almost unique way of looking at offense, Brock Purdy is fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think he... I honestly think that as Kyle Shanahan is watching Brock Purdy these last few weeks, he's thinking to himself, I've got my guy. I really do. I do believe he is thinking, this is the guy I'm looking for. A young piece of early in his career successful clay.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
It is our longest commercial-free segment of the entire afternoon here on a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. And we got Warriors Live starting with our friend John Dickinson coming up at 6 o'clock this evening, presented by Xfinity. Supercharge your supersonic Wi-Fi, unbeatable internet only from Xfinity. We got Warriors, we got Pistons, and we'll get back there in just a second. But Ray, every now and then, the text line comes up with an idea that is so fabulous, I'm ashamed I did not think of it myself.
This is where you take credit for it anyway, because you don't have to cite your source.
But I'm that kind of a stand-up guy. I can take so much credit for so many good things. I'm willing to share the credit when something else happens. It's just my generosity.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel diabetic all of a sudden.
It's the sweetness of me.
God.
So one of
flesh
the things,
is crawling.
One of the things that Peter King said was, you know, hey, Disney that owns, you know, ESPN and ABC and spent all this money on Monday Night Football, they want a game. They want a broadcast to sell, turn around, and get ratings on. So, you know, a coin flip probably isn't going to do it. Yeah, you know, it's not going to satisfy anybody. Although if you did broadcast that coin flip, it would be maybe the most watched flip coin in world history? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that you could wrap 2 hours of ads around a four-second action.
Oh, they would turn it into a Heisman situation where they know the winner before the show started, but it was still 3 hours anyways. But, yeah, it would not be compelling, but for a moment there, boy, we'd lean in to see if that sucker turned up heads or tails. How about this? Because this satisfies a little content for television. It's going to also wrap in a lot of your old audience and a level of new audience. It's also going to be an incredibly generous handshake to a, let's call it, corporate partner. How about this? Instead of a coin flip, the Buffalo Bills present their single best Madden player, and the Cincinnati Bengals identify and present their best Madden player, and the two guys sit down and play a game of Madden that actually goes into the standings.
I hate the idea on its face, just because I'm not a video gamer. And two, the game is already heading that way. Why hasten it, especially for something that actually matters? I'd rather have no game than a Madden game. Doesn't mean he doesn't get credit for thinking. I just think it's the wrong thought.
I think it's a great idea. I think it would get millions of eyeballs on it. It would be the single greatest Madden commercial of all time in the year where, you know, we're celebrating the passing of, I don't know if we're celebrating it, but we're recognizing the passing of John Madden just last year. Not bad. Not a bad idea.
It's thinking. I don't like where it ends. But it gets points for thinking.
someone from the 925 then says, how about this? Lingerie Bowl. We get those two teams. The by the way, I would love to see Team Lingerie from Buffalo. I insert own joke.
Yeah, wow, no. Not the lingerie team from
Cincinnati's
Buffalo.
Cincinnati's rolling.
Any Lingerie Bowl. Just no.
Lingerie Bowl.
No.
They got the weekend available. Right.
And that's all well and good. They can go out in the schoolyard and play. Knock yourselves out, but I don't want it to matter. Because weirdly enough, it won't.
I think it's a hysterical idea. I love it. How about having Ocho Cinco rep Cincinnati and Marshawn representing Buffalo? Both those guys would sign up for that, I think.
I don't know if Marshawn would sign up for repping Buffalo. He did not have a good time there.
He didn't, but if you put it in an Applebee's and tied in Kenny Mayne and gave him enough Skittles, maybe.
He might do Skittles for Vladivostok as far as that goes. But nah, if they're not going to play the real game, and I don't think they should, there should just be no game. Work around it.
How about this? To settle the game, each player nominates who they think is the funniest teammate. First one that makes Ray Ratto laugh the loudest is the two seed.
That game would go on for weeks.
Well, again, now, you know, ABC has its television time slot full.
No, what they've got is me just sitting there going, why am I being subjected to this? They'd have to nail gun me to the chair.
Just some good stuff here. Good job, everyone.
Yeah, not really.
I actually think the Madden idea is not bad. It works on a lot of levels. And someone brings up another very good point that I think, you know, we're not going to go crying any ratings woes for the NFL because they still got ratings on Monday night. I don't know what they were, but they still got ratings.
Oh, no, they got the full time slot. They got a full rubbernecker crowd for an hour that they wouldn't have gotten. And maybe it would have been bigger than the game audience.
It might have.
Because,
but here's the thing. But that was a massive game. So maybe not.
No, but here's the thing. When you're talking about the possibility of life or death, how many people watching the game called out to their spouse or their kids and said, you've got to come and look at this? I mean, it doesn't change the ratings because it's still one set, but they're getting an audience for that just because,
sure,
for lack of a better word, morbid curiosity.
Oh.
Because you never, that's not something you get to see.
That's not for a lack of a better word. That's an apropos description.
Yeah, in fact, I think the ratings for that UEFA game where Christian Eriksen collapsed on the field went up because people were going, oh my God, this guy could die.
They weren't saying, oh my God, something actually happened in a soccer game?
See, that's just not necessary.
Fantastic. Captains rock, paper, scissoring their way through the playoffs. That'd be interesting. But yeah, a lot of good suggestions. We can stop now, though. We can officially stop.
Stop before this.
The suggestions. How about this? Brock Purdy's dad, Sean, was on the morning show today with Bonte and Butcher Boy, and they asked him about what his impressions were of Kyle Shanahan. And here's what Sean Purdy, who's Brock's father, said.
Just from, you know, hearing Brock talk about the meetings and how they do things and what he expects. Once again, you know, being a family of faith, we're like, man, God put him with the right guy. He is just brilliant. You know, when I'm watching the game, you know, as a dad, you're always nervous. For the first time in my life, watching Brock play, I was just like, well, he's got a guy that's going to call the right plays. And you know, that's very comforting. Yeah, what a brilliant mind. And, you know, Brock really looks up to him and respects what that guy's all about.
Sounds like a cruel diss on Matt Campbell.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a shot across anyone else's bow, but it's certainly a glowing endorsement of the situation he finds his son in. You know, it's a dad to tell you whether or not they like the situation their son is in, yes or no, and they're probably going to give you the truth.
Well, he can't. I mean, it's the best situation any rookie quarterback could be in. You're surrounded by good players. You're not required to be the hero. And you've got a guy you can turn around and give the ball to 20 times and makes your life infinitely easier. So, yeah, I bet he's damn happy that he's there.
And the entire offense essentially operates in a box that you're comfortable in.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I've said this before. It just, in any other situation, you would have seen Brock Purdy's shortcomings by now. He doesn't have to show them because a great defense and a great running back who can also catch the ball out of the backfield eliminates some, a lot of possibilities for mistakes. He's having exactly the year that Jimmy Garoppolo's been having. If you look at the numbers, there's nothing extraordinary about what he's done. There was nothing extraordinary about what Garoppolo's done. But it all works because you've got the running back, and an extraordinary running back at that. You've got an offensive line that can block for the run all day long, and you've got a defense that means you don't have to score 35 points, except last Sunday.
If you gave Kyle Shanahan the opportunity right now, saying, so going forward, you can either keep going with Brock Purdy, or we found a crazy wrinkle in the NFL's bylaws that will allow you to add Derek Carr. Who do you think you'd rather go forward with, Brock Purdy or Derek Carr?
I think you'd rather go with Purdy.
I do too.
Because, first of all, you're gaining years. You know, Purdy's significantly younger. He's significantly less shell-shocked. And he knows the system. That's why Garoppolo is still here.
Well, and no bad habits. No bad habits hoisted upon him by other coaches.
We don't know what habits he's got. He's got a pretty restricted, you know, this is what we want you to do. Do this. I don't think Carr is, you know, I think Carr could adapt. But I think because Kyle Shanahan believes in what's familiar, and it's only when he decides to go outside his comfort zone that he gets burned, I think he would prefer Purdy to Carr. That doesn't mean that Carr is not a better quarterback than Purdy. But for Kyle Shanahan and his almost unique way of looking at offense, Brock Purdy is fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think he... I honestly think that as Kyle Shanahan is watching Brock Purdy these last few weeks, he's thinking to himself, I've got my guy. I really do. I do believe he is thinking, this is the guy I'm looking for. A young piece of early in his career successful clay that I can mold in the exact vision of what I want. And the truth is, this is what I want. I thought I wanted Trey Lance, and we're not getting rid of Trey Lance because Trey Lance might be what I need one day. But what I want is an accurate passer who can make three good reads, the right decision, or get rid of the ball and avoid sacks. And Purdy's good at all of that. And I really think that Shanahan is looking at this kid thinking, I got something to work with beyond wherever this year ends. I think he's the Niners quarterback going forward. I really do.
I'm not sure about that. Not because I see anything wrong in Purdy, but I see in Kyle Shanahan a guy who doesn't make a decision till he has to. We've been trying to pick what Kyle Shanahan's going to do at that position for 5 years now. We've been dead wrong throughout all of it. I think he's going to keep his powder dry on all of it. I think he'll keep Purdy.
Options everywhere.
Yeah, sure. He might decide, you know what? Trey Lance is the guy who doesn't fit here for whatever reason. I think he's keeping an open book on all of it and is making no decisions. You know, I mean, he might find, there might be a playoff game, and let's just take as a hypothetical, let's say Green Bay's suddenly revived defense just terrorizes him and they lose in the first round. Maybe that changes his worldview entirely, because we're still talking about a really small sample size with this guy. And so I think that he's not making any decisions on Purdy. The decision, if he's made one, well, he says, yeah, he's going to be on the roster next year. I don't know if he's going to start. I don't know if he's the guy of the future. Because if you've seen how many quarterbacks have either gotten hurt, gotten replaced, or just gotten cut, there have been 46 backup quarterbacks who've gotten time this year. That's an absurd number. That's not including anybody who started game one. So there's been 78 quarterbacks this year, it's either the highest number ever or it's really close. So I think Kyle Shanahan is looking at this going, I got depth at a position where I don't necessarily have depth, but I can't keep three. There might have to be a new Brock Purdy next year while I keep the old one.
Oh, I would be looking to draft any quarterback that you thought had NFL potential round four or beyond, should they still be on the board every single year. I'm talking about teams that had Tom Brady in his prime should be drafting quarterback late round all the time just to develop as an asset or a backup or an emergency blank.
I mean, we're seeing that now with Washington starting. No, we're seeing it now. Washington starting Sam Howell. You know, not Heinicke, not Wentz, a guy who hasn't been on the field all year. Because I think they look at him and go, maybe he's Purdy.
By the way, welcome, just a couple minutes late, to your 5 o'clock hour.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.